In our second reading today, St. Paul, in one of the probably most well-known passages in the Bible, and one of the most common passages for weddings, describes love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It is not pompous. It is not inflated. It is not rude. It does not seek its own interests. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love is at the center of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a follower of Christ. As St. John teaches us in his first epistle, God is love, and those who do not love do not know God. Those who love much are close to God, and those who fail to love are far from God. Love, because God is love, is the goal of Christianity. And yet when we look at the world around us and see so much anger and hatred, so much violence, greed, selfishness, so much sin all around us, we may think that St. Paul would have been better, instead of saying love never fails, to say that love often fails, or love usually fails in our more cynical moments. But he says love never fails. What does he mean by that? What does he mean that love never fails? Well, he means that it never fails when we choose love, that is always the right choice, that no one can take God's love away from us, and that God's love never fails. It is always right to choose love. You see, in some of the most difficult choices in our lives, it can be very difficult to know what is the right choice, to know what God is calling us to do. And yet, choice is important, because when we choose, we are choosing right or wrong, to love or not to love, the good or the bad. We are affecting not only the people around us, but who we are. We're affecting our own soul. A sin is not something that we do on accident, but something that we have chosen to do when we have chosen against love. But every time we choose love, we grow closer to God. We grow in godliness because God is love. But we don't always know what is the right choice. We can get in those situations sometimes where we just aren't sure which way God is calling us to go. In those times, if it is a decision where we have some time to make a choice, it's always best to take a step back, to go to God in prayer, to ask for his guidance, to discern the different paths before us, and then to make a choice from that position of prudence. But in those moments when we have to make a decision now to choose between options that are presented before us, then always ask yourself, what is God calling me to do? What is God, who is with me right now, which path is he pointing me towards? It is important that we form our consciences to know right from wrong, our conscience, that voice of reason within us, deep down in our soul, that urges us to the right path or that accuses us when we have chosen the wrong path. But conscience isn't infallible. You may have heard the opposite of that many times, that conscience is infallible, that we should always follow our conscience. And indeed, that's true. We should always do what we know is right, to follow the voice of conscience within us. But we have to maybe put a caveat on that. Didn't many of the Nazis know that they were doing the right thing, even though they made monstrous choices? Don't many people choose evil, thinking that they are choosing the right choice? And so we have a moral responsibility to form our consciences, to learn what is truly right and what is truly wrong, what is truly the path of love and what is the opposite, what will bring only pain and hurt into the world. And we form our consciences by meditating on Christ, on his life, by using our reason to examine the choices before us, by truly being open to what God is really calling us to the way God is calling us to live. And when we have truly formed our consciences to know the right from the wrong, then no one can take that away from us. No one can force us to choose against our will. They can influence our decision. They can put pressure on us. But in the end, you are the captain of your own ship. In the end, you make your own choice because God has given us free will. God could easily have just made it so that we always make the right choice, have made it so that there really is no choice between good and bad. But that wouldn't be love. Love is choosing the good for another and not our own good. Love is choosing the good when it costs us something. And that choice is a choice that God has given us, even as he urges us to always choose love. We don't always choose love in our lives. We sometimes fail. We sometimes fall into sin. And in those moments, it's important to be honest with ourselves, to never lie to ourselves about what our true motivations are. We can fool ourselves so easily. We can come up with all these justifications for our actions. But as long as we are honest with ourselves about why we are choosing what we are choosing, then we can still hear that voice of conscience, that voice of the Holy Spirit within us, calling us to repentance, calling us back to God. And that is perhaps the most hopeful part of St. Paul's message for us today, that God's love never fails, that God will always love us, and that he is always calling out to us, calling us closer to himself, calling us to repentance when we have fallen into sin. If Jesus Christ could look down from the cross upon the Roman soldiers, upon the Jewish officials, upon the very people who put him on that cross, and ask God to forgive them, then he can certainly forgive us when we come to him in love.